This is Jim Inkster. Coming today, we will visit with Lewis Unglesby, the well-known attorney. He has some thoughts about 1 year later in the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. What have we learned, and how will gun rights be affected, if at all? And we'll review the tragedy in Connecticut on December 14th, 2012, with Lewis Unglesby. Also, Max Allen Collins with some new thoughts. His novel is about November 22nd, 1963, and the Kennedy assassination. It's called Ask Not. This is the man who wrote Road to Perdition. We'll talk with Max Allen Collins about his latest work. All this, but now the news on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number outside the area. It's 877-217-5757. You may reach us by email, inkstershow@wrkf.org. J.C. Kane is producing. And we have in studio the perhaps the best-known attorney in the great state of Louisiana, Lewis Owens Unglesby. Shortly after the tragedy in Connecticut a year ago, Lewis Unglesby came on this show and then followed it with an appearance before the Baton Rouge Press Club and spoke as a proud gun owner, but one who believes that perhaps the gun laws in the United States are extreme. This was in response to what happened December 14th, 2012, 52 Fridays ago, 22-year-old Adam Lanza fatally shot 20 children and 6 adult staff members in a mass murder at Sandy Hook Elementary School in the village of Sandy Hook in Newtown, Connecticut. Good morning, Lewis Unglesby.
Good morning, Jim, and Merry Christmas to everyone.
Well, happy holidays to you. So what do you think of this a year later? There's been a lot of talk. There have been some laws passed, some laws rejected. Where are we?
Well, it's interesting. There have been laws passed in certain areas that would be more restrictive, arguably helpful. Then there have been laws passed in other areas, Louisiana being one, to sort of react to the reaction with a more liberal and almost hysterical construct that everybody needs one of these weapons. And I think that what's been lost in all this is the NRA and these people can say, well, it's not the gun, it's the shooter. You have your Second Amendment rights. That's not really true. Yes, somebody like Adam Lanza is crazy and was bent on destruction, but you have to go back and look at just cold-blooded facts. This is a man, the police arrived on the scene and stopped the carnage in 161 seconds. That's almost incredible. That type of rapid response. Yet in 161 seconds, he killed 26 people. And he did that by firing a bullet almost every 2 seconds and over 154 spent cartridges. Now, nowhere in civilization is it necessary that a weapon like that be in existence and in the hands of a human being. The Army may need them. The police, perhaps, but just me, I don't need nor have any reason to be allowed to have something like that, no more than they'd let me have a car that'll go 400 miles an hour or something, you know? And it's just nothing but purely gun salesmen, gun manufacturers, many of which are not even in America, economics, that makes these things so attractive in sort of this anti-safety construct that's been run by the NRA and has been very successful.
This was a Bushmaster X-M15 Glock. It's a weapon that is particularly deadly. You're saying, I think, that these kinds of weapons should not be available to the general public. Why would that be an infringement on the Second Amendment?
Well, it's not. I mean, I was hunting yesterday. You know, there are no laws that I know of, certainly none that involve recreational hunting, that in any way impinge on my right to own a weapon. We're talking about the nature of the weapon. You know, people have the right to self-defense in their home, and that's a very important mm-hmm. and cherished right. But at the same time, I can't build a moat around my house and fill it with alligators and live in my neighborhood. They're not going to let me do that, you know, even if I feel that I need that much self-protection. It's just reasonableness, and it's unreasonable. And it's, you know, the old saying, money runs the world. That's really what this is about. The NRA managed to capitalize on the tragedy of Sandy Hook by increasing its membership, by scaring people into believing that if you didn't want to walk around with a gun on your back or in your pocket, you were somehow not a real American. It's just the antithesis. It's not even historically accurate over the history of the Old West and the early days of the continent. It's just very difficult to make any logic out of that construct.
297-5633 is your number. Outside the area, it's 877-217-5757. This young man who was troubled, Adam Lanza, killed his mother in her sleep and then went to this school about 60 miles outside of New York City. And a town of 28,000 was riveted by this terrible tragedy, something in contrast to what the town was known for. Only one homicide in the town in the 10 years prior to the school shooting.
Well, that would sound like an ideal place to live, but you know, the thing people have to understand, or we should at least have real serious dialogue on, is, sure, Adam Lanza's crazy, and there are crazy people in Baton Rouge this morning, but they don't have to be enabled by being able to get their hands on weapons of essentially mass destruction and the kind of weapons that terrorists would like to have. They'll still perhaps do terrible things, but they won't do them nearly as effectively. Adam Lanza couldn't have shot his way into that school and killed that many children in 161 seconds with a .30-06 or a .270 or a normal handgun. He couldn't have done that, you see. So you've got to separate the two. You can't use an excuse for the gun, the fact that the gun user is crazy. That's just... that's like saying the excuse for the mm-hmm. wreck is that the guy was drunk. So therefore, drunk driving is tolerated. Of course not.
297-5633. And some questions for Lewis Unglesby from listeners, posing them online. Tracy at the Capitol says, why haven't any lawmakers in Louisiana come forward as you have and said enough is enough?
Well, actually, it's the opposite. We passed two laws that were very popular with the lawmakers who got awards from the NRA and who took money from the gun manufacturers and the NRA for standing up to the gun nuts, I guess you'd call them, like me. More than likely, I probably own more rifles than just about anybody in the legislature. But they think it's that's the battle cry. And I understand the politics, because, you see, you and I and probably 99% of your listeners are not going to vote for or against somebody on one single issue. Mm-hmm. There's not one issue that by itself, that's all we care about, and that's it. But the NRA at least has convinced people that some of the politicians, that there is a segment of society that will go out and vote against them in mass if they demonstrate any reasonableness and rational thinking about guns. Whereas, conversely, those who support reasonableness and rational thinking about guns may vote for them, may not vote for them, because they're going to have a more broad-minded view. Now, I don't know that that's true. That really categorizes a bunch of people as pretty narrow-minded, and I'm not willing to accept that at all. But that is the polling, and that's what politicians respond to: polling, telephone calls, and money.
What are the two laws that you referred to?
Well, we ingrained in our Constitution, which was another one of these things that fascinates me on a broader spectrum. We talk about wasting money in government. Many of my more staunch right-wing and conservative friends really are constantly worried about wasting money in government, yet they didn't have any problem passing a constitutional amendment we didn't need that cost millions of dollars to draft and put on a ballot and have an election about, you know, millions of dollars to ingrain the right of Louisiana citizens to have a gun in case one day at some time in the future the United States Supreme Court restricted that. Now, that first, it's not a legitimate law because under the federalist statute, if federal government passes a law that affects my rights, I have to follow it just because I don't get to secede and live in Louisiana and get treated differently than somebody in Arkansas. And the second thing is it's a silly kind of a statement to make because what do we get from it? I am unaware, and I'd be love for some legislator to call in and tell me that any of these people that manufacture these horrible weapons are building a big plant in Louisiana and fixing to hire 1,000 Louisiana citizens at good wages. I'd like to hear that. I don't believe that's true. I don't think Louisiana's made a dime out of any of this. So it's contraindicated on both economic and social policy. And then we made this right to carry a weapon law that we kind of got from Florida. Well, we saw how that worked with the tragedy of that, whatever the name was, I try to forget his name.
Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman.
George Zimmerman, yeah, who becomes overnight from a zero nobody to some kind of a celebrity within the gun rights movement. And then to show you how just dead sick the poor man is, when he gets found not guilty, the first thing he does is go to get his gun back from the police department, and the second thing he does is then go on a tour of where they manufactured his gun. Now, a rational person, if he got that gun back, wants to take it and throw it in the Atlantic Ocean as quickly as he can. It killed someone, you know, but that's the way it is. No one seemed to find that offensive, and Rush Limbaugh thought it was cool.
Well, these people take their Second Amendment rights seriously, and many of them are of the mind that if we pass one law, it'll lead to another law and another law and another law, and eventually they won't have their guns.
Yeah, we said that about the Civil Rights Act. You know, we've said that about many things. If we give any, you know, if we add to or restrict some rights, then all of a sudden, next thing you know, all your rights will collapse. But that in the states that they have passed, the opposite of Louisiana, where they've tried to put some restrictions, it hasn't occurred, and there's no place that anyone, I mean, let's stay with the plan here. There's no place in America where you don't have the right to have recreational hunting rifles, and there's no place where you don't have the right, if you need it, to use self-defense. Nowhere. Mm-hmm. So it's just it's a false argument.
We'll go to the phone lines in a moment, and if you'd like to join the conversation, you're welcome to call us at 297-5633 or 877-217-5757. Did get a listener who wanted your comments regarding the longtime editor of Guns and Ammo magazine, Dick Metcalf, was fired, and here's a guy who's obviously a gun enthusiast, but he was fired after suggesting that it would be a good idea to have training as a requirement before buying a gun. And he lost his job.
Well, that's unfortunate from him. But again, these are all false premises. Okay, I have training. Now I really know how to use my Bushmaster AR-15 very effectively. All right, now what is that training going to teach me about not using it against a bunch of children or slaughtering a bunch of innocent people in a bank or something? Not a thing, you know. So all that, like mental health, we need to have mental health. Well, you can't. You and I are sitting here today seemingly rational people, but we could both be crazy as bedbugs by 4 o'clock this afternoon. So what good does it? It's easier if you just cut off the methodology of the mass destruction at the front end, and then you can have rational responses afterwards.
297-5633. We'll return with Lewis Unglesby after this 90-second pause on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number. Attorney Lewis Unglesby is with us. It was December 14th, 2012, 52 Fridays ago, that 20-year-old Adam Lanza fatally shot 20 children, 6 staff members, in a mass murder in Connecticut at Sandy Hook Elementary School. How have opinions changed, if at all, in the year since then? President Obama on that day said lawmakers needed to take action no matter what the politics were, and efforts on the federal level were not successful. Mary Landrieu voted for one bill, and I would imagine that that will be an issue in her campaign. There will be people who may vote for her because of her vote, and there are others who may vote against her. Do you sense that this is a politically explosive issue, Lewis?
Well, I mean, I'm not a politician, and I don't know what they think motivates people, but I know if I were running for office, the last thing I'm going to run on is that I'm in support of the idea you can kill 26 people in 2 minutes. So if you just put it on the flat, if you look at it just flat level, clear-eyed like that, what politician would want to say, I'm for shooting kids? And if you say you're against reasonable efforts to diminish that opportunity, then you must be the opposite of against as far. So I think that probably Senator Landrieu would pick up a lot of votes from mothers and fathers who think about it a little bit.
The technology is such that these weapons are going to become more deadly as the years go by, as they have over the last 20 or 30 years. What happens when we have even more high-powered weapons being used for purposes such as this?
Well, you know, that's something people don't think about, but if you want to have a gun that'll shoot 30 bullets in 60 seconds, then if you can get a gun that'll shoot 60 bullets in 60 seconds, if that's the kind of thought process you have, that's even better. You know, if you want to have a gun that'll shoot accurately at 150 yards, then you want a gun that'll shoot accurately at 400 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's you know, they're going, the gun people, they're going to make the guns they can sell. That's just basic world economics. They're going to make the guns they can sell. And if they can push off things like Bushmasters on people, there was a run on this. I can tell you, it was so silly that this summer when you would go in to buy regular bullets to go and sight your gun and all for deer season, the people at the counter would make a point to tell you, boy, you're lucky you're getting these because we're running out of bullets. Well, of course, that's like saying we're running out of oil. We're running out of oil because we decided to shut the spigots off so the price can go up. They were never running out of bullets. It's just economic foolishness.
And you own a lot of guns.
I do. I have a lot of rifles that are used in recreational hunting. I do have a lot of guns.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have any guns that I can shoot you more than once without a lot of manipulation and effort.
Well, I was told the other day by somebody in the industry that people actually do use these things occasionally for hunting.
Maybe in West Texas to shoot jackrabbits or something, or hordes of wild hogs, or coyotes, I guess, if you came up on a... I don't even know if coyotes run in a group, but I guess maybe there's 5 or 10 people on the planet that might have such use. There's zero in Louisiana, Texas, Mississippi, Arkansas, Alabama, or most of these states that are excited about gun rights. Zero.
Peter in South Downs. Hi, Peter. You're on the air with Lewis Unglesby.
Hi. It's not an argument for me of gun rights, but, I mean, Lewis, I can take a 30-30 lever action and do almost what was done. I can take a shot, an automatic or a pump shotgun, and do what was done up there. I am able to shoot 18 rounds out of my revolver in 25 seconds accurately because I practice. So I don't know exactly what you're saying. Is that if we go to all bolt action rifles and shotguns and things like that, maybe that would slow things down. But other than that, I'm not sure what you're saying.
Well, Peter, if you've got a pump-action shotgun that'll shoot 153 rounds in 2 minutes, I'd love to see it, because every shotgun I ever heard of holds three at a time.
Well, you can pull the plug out and put five in.
Okay,
and,
so
if you,
you
practice
can do five.
Tactical reloading, you can reload as you shoot. So, I mean, I can pump out, with the shotgun, I can pump out almost 10 rounds in less than a minute. I mean,
that's all right. So you've killed 10 people in a minute, as opposed to the other 26 that would have lived, would have been happy.
Using buckshot, that's a lot of bullets. That's not just one.
Well, if that's what you're
determined. That's all I'm saying, is that I understand what you're saying about we need to have some types of controls there and stuff like that. But for the avid hunter or the avid person like me that likes to go out and target shoot and stuff like that, you can use any weapon. A crazy person can use any weapon.
Well, that's absolutely true. A crazy person can use any weapon, but they can't use them as effectively to kill people. Now, you're talking about target shooting. The guns you have are not made necessarily to kill people. But the fact is, wouldn't you, and I don't mean to put this in a personal way, but all right, your choice. You can shoot 10 rounds with your shotgun in a minute, or you can only shoot 6 rounds with your shotgun in a minute. And if you give up those 4 rounds, and a lot of people are healthier and happier and alive today, you wouldn't mind doing that. You'd be glad to, because it's not that important to you.
I actually have bolt-action shotguns, which I like shooting with when I go out for squirrels and stuff. I mean, that makes sense, but by the same token, I know I just don't, without going to all bolt-action single-shot weapons, I don't know what we can do to control some of this stuff. So, I applaud the efforts, and if someone comes up with something I can support, that'd be wonderful. But until then.
All right. Let's try, thank you, Peter. Greg at LSU. Hi, Greg. You're on with Lewis.
Good morning. I guess I was kind of the same lines as the other caller. I was trying to pick up sort of the drunk driver analogy that was used. Often we have vehicles that now over years have gained more and more horsepower. They can go faster and faster. But the way we regulate them is not by outlawing the vehicles, but by setting speed limits, having certifications and accreditation for the drivers, things of that nature. And by, at some time, tokens, you know, so limiting the speed at which the vehicle could run, even by governor systems, et cetera, that are enacted. So a lot of times we categorize specific weapons based on, in a sense, more or less their shape and construction and configuration. Wouldn't it be sort of a middle-of-the-road approach to address it sort of by their capability and enact regulations that simply sort of put a speed limit, not sort of a regulation on the size and shape? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Well, I think that's a rational construct. I mean, I think we're all saying the same thing. Whether you put a speed limit on it by the fact that it'll only hold 5 or 10 bullets at a time, or whether you put a speed limit on in some other fashion, that's the point. Is that these particular guns, it doesn't have anything to do with size and shape and configuration. It has to do with kill power. That's what they're sold for. You got to read them, read what they say about them. They're sold for their kill power, firepower, capacity to shoot high velocity guns in a very short period of time. That is only for one thing. Me and you getting shot. That's only good of it. So however you want to call it, speed limits, reloading requirements, I don't care what you call it. The fact is that people don't need to be able to kill each other that efficiently on the altar of making a few bucks for some manufacturers of guns in Germany.
Well, this tragedy last year, 1 year ago tomorrow, the shooter entered the school at 9:30 in the morning, be about 8:30 Louisiana time, and by 9:46 it was all over. Police had arrived. Lanza was dead, and so were 26 other people.
The police head of state police in Louisiana told me and said on television that the police got there in less than 2 minutes. According to CNN, the police had actually secured the entire area in 2 minutes and 41 seconds from the first call. And the first call came after the school was locked down at 9 o'clock, which was just done as a precautionary tale for the school. It didn't have anything to do with this event. The police are there almost instantly. If we call the police right now, they'd never get here on Corsi Boulevard in 2 minutes and 41 seconds. And it was over with in 2 minutes and 41 seconds, and Lanza was already dead. So this is all about rapid fire, super capacity. He couldn't get in to the school without those guns. He shot his way into the school. He blew out their security system. That's how he got in. So it's nonsense to argue about my right, my Second Amendment right, which no one is intruding on, as being somehow altered or greatly affected by the elimination of these high-velocity, rapid-fire weapons that are made for only one thing, and that is to hurt people. They were created for the military, and they were created for the police departments, and I don't think there's a policeman or a head of the national head of the police departments, the National Sheriff's Association, all of these people have gone to Congress and testified that there's no need for these kind of weapons, and they put their own people in great jeopardy because they get outgunned in certain situations. So it's purely, the only justification for it is economics. That's all. If everybody would just quit buying them, we wouldn't have to outlaw them. If everybody in America said, we're not buying this junk anymore, we don't want them, okay? Well, then that would be the end of it. That'd be fine. That's great. Boycott the gun manufacturers. I don't care.
I saw a story on CNN, though, Lewis, and it had a photo of a gun store with President Obama's picture on the wall, and under it it said Salesman of the Month. So he may have stimulated gun sales with his statements.
Well, there's no question that sale of these weapons, I mean, that's a statistically known fact, went through the roof with the emotional hysteria people were having. And it was really, I don't know, you know, we all have to sit back and think sometimes. Everybody has their own opinions. But there was a lot of energy poured into anger at the concept of restricting the Bushmaster or the AR-15 that could have been poured into worrying about these kids. You know, it's like a diversion away from an awful tragedy. And this isn't just one time this happened. You know, if this is the only time this happened in the United States in the last 5 or 10 years, that'd be one thing. But this is a recurring thing, and it's going to happen again, and it happened. It happened in Colorado. It happened in California. It happens periodically, and it's always the same pattern. Someone with an extremely, extremely dangerous piece of machinery that they have the right to buy harms somebody terribly. The whole idea, look, there are studies that if, and I'm not recommending or not recommending this, but it's just something you got to think about. There are studies that if you put real safeties on pistols, domestic violence would go down dramatically, because just the volitional fact of having to do one more step before you fire retards taking that last step of pulling the trigger. Now, if you have to reload after 3 or 4 or 5 shots, forget the practicalities of it slows you down for a minute. You have to consciously think about what you're doing. You have to go through this process, physical process, mental process. That isn't going to harm anybody, you know? Whereas right now, I can just put my 30 bullets in, pull the trigger, and as long as I'm pulling, I'm firing.
Mm-hmm. Charles on North Foster. Hello, Charles. You're on with Lewis Unglesby.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Counselor. It took a minute for me to get to you, but I'm glad I was able to. Counselor, you mentioned the Second Amendment, and unless I'm wrong, it gives me the right to bear arms but not bear an army. I don't think the founders intended for colonists to have cannons that were meant for the army instead of muskets. Why do we need the AR-15, which as a former Marine and an expert on the weapon two times, that's the M-16 from Vietnam. I mean, we have the right to bear arms, but not bear an army. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, of course, you're in my camp on that. I agree with you. And we just have to look at history. When we talk about things like the Second Amendment, the colonists, the reason they wanted people to have the right to bear arms was multiple. Number one, it was because they wanted to be able to raise an army if the English came back. I mean, we only beat them once. We didn't know, and sure enough, in 1812, there was another war. Number two, people in the early days of the country needed their muzzle loaders to shoot, to get game and to shoot, mm-hmm. Predators and things that might cause them harm. So that's completely different. Everybody doesn't live out on the 40-acre farm anymore and have a well and live out of their and milk their cow. We're not in that time frame. Third, I'm not sure at all that if they had invented AR-15s in 1776, they would have said, this is a great idea, let's make sure everybody have them. And we know that that's actually, historically, a fair thing for me to say, because when you go to the West, in the history of the West, read the gun control laws that existed in every town that they founded, from St. Louis to Dodge City, to San Francisco. Read the gun control laws back then in the 1800s. There were no one contested, no one argued about, and you couldn't have a more open-ended sort of rough and ready populace than people who were moving out to the West. But they were more than happy to give up the idea of everybody walking around with a gun on Saturday night at the local casino or barroom. Yeah. You know, they were for that, not against it.
297-5633 and 877-217-5757. We will stay with Lewis Unglesby for a while longer, reflecting on a year since the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting when 26 people were killed, and 27 if you count Lanza, and 28 if you count his mother, who he killed before he went to the school. Interestingly, only two people were wounded and survived. This is a particularly lethal form of weaponry. Two people out of 28, that's... I don't know that Lanza was a particularly good shot, but obviously he had a weapon that was quite efficient for what he did.
Well, if you look at the size of the bullets and the power, and the firepower of those bullets, and you understand, you know, these are bullets that can honestly, you know, blow your leg off. You know, they're decapitating kind of bullets. Wherever you get hit, you're going to have a major injury.
297-5633 is your number, 877-217-5757, inkstershow@wrkf.org. It was 11 days before Christmas Day last year when this horrible tragedy occurred. We're reflecting on it 1 year later with Lewis Unglesby, and we shall return in a minute and a half. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Lewis Unglesby has agreed to stay with us a full hour, and Max Allen Collins will be with us Monday. A fine book, Ask Not, and we will hear from him come Monday about his work regarding what really happened on 22 November 1963. Right now we're reflecting on 14 December 2012. 20-year-old Adam Lanza killed 20 children, 6 adult staff members, then killed himself. And this all happened in a matter of minutes. His final shot was at 9:40 in the morning 52 Fridays ago, and the first 9/11 call after he came in with weaponry was at 9:35:39, so it happened swiftly. Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on with Lewis.
Yes, you think this gun control problem could be alleviated if the U.S. Supreme Court would go from 5-4 right-wing to 5-4 progressive and allow cities to enact laws that would control these guns?
Well, you know, that's always the interesting thing, whatever side of the seesaw you're on at the time, that the Supreme Court seems to be, while it says it's above politics, seems to be very driven by ideology. If a city wants to pass a law that they like, they'll go overboard to discuss the fact that that the city has the right to do that on its own. It's the independent will of the populace, and that's democracy. If it passes a law they don't like, then it's an interference with the Constitution, and it's a violation of the citizens' rights. So it's a, you know, that whether that would make any difference with one person or another person, I don't know. But if you read a lot of Supreme Court cases, you see that, sadly, often, particularly in the last 20, 25 years, they're result-oriented rather than intellectually-oriented.
Mm-hmm. Some gun rights advocates called for guards at every school in the country. Would that help?
You would add a dead guard at Adam Lanza's school, because the guard is... What is this guard going to be? I mean, you're going to have a Navy SEAL that's on duty and alert? You know, think about this. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. The kids are all in school. They're all, at, you know, between first and fourth grade. Now, how much... I'm in a town that's had one homicide in 10 years. Exactly how much alert am I on? You know, do I have my sniper vest? I mean, it's just... That's not all. That's going to do is cause more mayhem, you know.
And others said, give each teacher a gun.
Well, you know, yeah, you could give the stewardesses a gun on the airplanes, you know, or we could just all have a gun, just everybody, you know, in the carpool line, gun up, and take time, their turn, sitting out the school all day, ready to shoot anyone that looks questionable. It's just. It's not. You're talking about Kennedy and the Kennedy book, and it made me think. This is a little off subject, but Oswald did terrible damage with one or two or three bullets, okay? And they've gone through years discussing the magic bullet and which bullet and all that, and that there must have been, you know, there's a whole group of people that are convinced there had to be two shooters because the bullet couldn't have gone through Kennedy and through Connally in the right trajectory, et cetera.
Well, and be pristine when it came out.
But give Oswald this Bushmaster, he'd have taken out everybody in the parade. You see? It wouldn't have been, we wouldn't be having to have that conversation because everybody would be dead. Mrs. Connally, Mrs. Kennedy, the Secret Service, the drivers. Everybody in that car and any other car around there would be dead, and he'd be dead in just as fast a period of time as it took him to shoot and assassinate the president. So it's just, it is not a positive, you know, you like to think of things that have extrinsic value. What extrinsic value is a rapid-fire, high-velocity weapon in a civilized society? For just anybody that's got $249.
Yeah. I remember that notable philosopher Archie Bunker saying that the solution to hijacking, which was going on a lot back in the 70s, was to give everybody on a plane a gun and let them wear it as they get on the plane. At some point, you gotta decide whether you're going to have more guns or less guns to correct a problem. But right now, it looks like we've gone to more guns because there are more guns out there.
No question.
And they're more high powered.
In 2013, America is probably better armed than it's ever been. I don't know who we're. See, I don't understand that. I get up in the morning, pretty confident that barring some unusual event, I'm going to go to work and. Then I'm going to come home and go through my daily life, and I don't think that I need to strap a gun on between my office, my home, and the law office because I'm going to get hijacked. Now, maybe I'm in danger, but I'd rather not know that I'm in that kind of danger than to anticipate it and worry about it all the time. I don't think that's a healthy way to live.
Okay. Here, I'm going to edit this a little bit. It's a long email, but it says, here's from A.E. Voigt. He writes, I guess it's a he, maybe a she. Bottom line, the only reason, only in all caps, anyone needs to own an assault rifle is to protect themselves from legions of ne'er-do-wells dropped off on our homesteads by U.S. government black ops helicopters. says, keep your mental health. You can never really catch the crazies until after the fact. Lewis and Jim, enjoy the rational conversation, but sad fact is you can't fix stupid. Louisiana Third World and proud of it, signed A.E. Voigt.
Well, there are those who do think, and the NRA, which is a group of business-oriented people with public relations people, with lawyers that are paying attention and have access to all the levers of how to influence American people. Those people, and I really have no use for them. I really think they're evil people. I don't have any use for those people because they are manipulating public opinion, and they manipulate it in things like the idea that, you know, the government, you need these guns to protect you from the government. Well, folks, the government's got the nuclear bomb. If they want to, you can get all the guns you want, they got more. And you can have all the ammunition you want, they got more. And if they want to come get your chickens out of your yard, you're not going to stand them down and win that fight. So the best way to handle that is to continue to have a democracy with thoughtful people in charge.
Well, most people, thank goodness, in the U.S., despite our high rate of violence, and mind you, we're in one of the most violent cities in America as we speak, they've never faced a person who had a gun pointed at them. You have, twice, right?
Yeah, that's true.
How was that experience?
Well, it's not fun, but again, I was fortunate because the people that were pointing guns at me were interested in accomplishing their goal, which was robbery, not in hurting me. If they'd wanted to hurt me, they certainly could have. But in those situations, they didn't need a Bushmaster or AR-15 or anything else. Those were handgun circumstances, and they had the total control of the environment of the situation in terms of whether they wanted to fire the trigger, or pull the trigger, or they didn't. Mm-hmm. Now, it's the thing is that it's random, undirected violence that these kind of weapons that I'm talking about usually cause. You know, there was nobody that went into the movie in Colorado that was angry at any of the people watching the movie. They didn't go into the movie so they could steal the film and be the only person that could watch the movie. They went in there to cause harm to people. There was nobody. Adam Lanza wasn't at the school to steal the school books or to get all the pencils and crayons. He was there to kill those kids. And these kind of guns that we're talking about are killing machines. That's all they are. And they're not even... Mm-hmm. No one suggests differently. And if I'd have had a Bushmaster AR-15 on my back... When somebody broke with the two times I had a gun in between my eyes, it wouldn't have done me a bit of good. I could have never got to it.
Well, the documents released from the investigation of the tragedy at Sandy Hook show that Lanza fired 156 shots in less than 5 minutes, 154 shots from a rifle and 2 shots from a 10-millimeter pistol. And that's... a lot of shots. Charles on Jefferson. Good morning, Charles. You're on with Lewis Unglesby.
Yeah, to me, this is, it boils, we go around and around with this all the time, same little story, but it boils down to a choice. I legally am responsible with my various firearms.
Okay, you're fading on us, Charles. Don't go away. Maybe we can get you to a better location, but a choice? He said it comes down to a choice?
I couldn't hear what the gentleman said, honestly.
Well, I don't know what kind of a choice he's referring to, but here in Baton Rouge, we're not like Newtown, Connecticut. We've had more than one homicide in the last 10 years. We may have had one in the last 10 minutes. How does this affect us, if at all?
Well, all I can tell you again, you look at history. The actual population of East Baton Rouge Parish in the 2010 census, and you go back and look at what it was in the 1970 census, it's not dramatically higher. It's within 10 to 15%, 20 at the most. A lot of that is Katrina growth. So Baton Rouge has grown incrementally. Mm-hmm. It hasn't exploded like Atlanta or Houston, some of the other southern cities. Mm-hmm. Yet our crime rate, gun violence, has far outstripped our populace. And I just can, all I can do is look at my own life. When I went to work for the court at the courthouse as a freshman in law school in 1971, my job was to interview people that got arrested and tell the judges what had happened so they could set a bond. And if we interviewed one guy in a month that it was involved in a homicide, it was a big deal. And it was a big deal when the police brought that fella in. There'd be 10 detectives around him. It was a major event. Sadly, statistically, we don't go a week in Baton Rouge without having a tragedy. And it's usually young people with young people killing young people. And we don't think about how that violence construct has sort of ingrained itself into our culture, and it become it's just hard to explain it in any kind of rational way that doesn't sadden you.
And many of these murders are unsolved.
I'm sorry?
They're unsolved. The people
many
get killed.
Many murders are unsolved, and many murderers are
in our midst.
You know, out there that a lot of it is spontaneous. And, you know, how many times you read the paper and that one of the people on either side of the tragedy will say, you know, what a terrible thing. Two lives are lost, the dead person and the person who's been arrested and now going to go to jail for the rest of their life. So it's we all have a stake in, you know, if you're interested in your own personal safety, if you're really interested in your own personal safety to the point that you think you need weaponry, think about the idea that we need peace. You know, we need to figure out how to reduce this problem so that we don't have to spend our time worrying about our personal safety.
Let's see. Let's give Charles on Jefferson another shot. Charles?
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. To me, it's a matter of choice. We have the legal right to own these firearms. I mean, we go around and around with these stories, and I find it very hypocritical of, I'm assuming this is Mr. Unglesby, I haven't heard yet, but, you know, he defends people who kill other people. So, but, you know, if I have a choice, I don't want Mr. Unglesby or you or anybody else imposing their choice on me. I have a choice to exercise my rights, and I do it responsibly. I can shoot lots of ammo. I can shoot a little bit of ammo. This thing goes round and round. Just don't try to impose your will on me.
I don't want to impose my will on you, Charles, but my grandchildren might like to impose my will on some nut walking around with one of these guns you're championing. So, look, friend, this isn't a question of choice. We're a community. You know, everybody in America is not an individual that can do whatever they want. We live as a community in a society that respects everyone's rights and opinions. But when those rights trespass on general safety for no good reason, we have the right to say, we have the absolute obligation to think about it. Now, you want to have a gun? Have all the guns you want. You want to tell me on the air now why you need a Bushmaster AR-15 if you live in Baton Rouge, please do. I'm sure everyone would love to know the circumstances of your life that require you to need such a weapon of mass destruction.
Are you there, Charles?
It's a matter of desire, not need.
Okay.
Just like you desire the Mercedes you drive.
I don't actually drive.
You could use a bicycle.
I'm actually in a Toyota Tacoma this morning, Charles, but that's okay.
Okay.
I've had Mercedes, and there's no dispute, buddy. I've been very blessed, okay? I'm very fortunate, and a lot of that is because of the goodwill of the people of this town. No doubt about it.
It's also because a lot of people kill people, and you represent them. So.
All right.
Well, I think anybody who's charged with a crime deserves representation, and sometimes people are charged wrongly.
sometimes, you know, nobody's ever been found not guilty that wasn't charged.
So Lewis Unglesby does a service. But would you, you know, if Lanza had lived, would you defend him?
Well, Lanza's obviously a crazy person.
All right.
And had he lived, I'm sure that he would have never made it to court because he was insane.
Well, the lines are all lit up now. Peter in Donaldsonville, let's get very quickly. We're short on time, Peter. Do you have a comment?
Yeah, I was wondering, like, the way to get around the choice thing is you can just have AR-15s at, like, gun shooting ranges and just have them so they can just use them at shooting ranges.
That's a thoughtful idea. That would accommodate the desire of the gentleman that called earlier that likes to do that as a recreation. That's not a bad idea, although I don't think I'd ever have had it. It's a good idea.
Thank you, Lewis Unglesby. Happy holidays to you. Thanks, everybody. We'll be back Monday. Stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.